is NARA chapter president Lee McDowell, and I'm here with NARA chapter member Akiko Mokhtari for the Meet the Members series. Akiko, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I would like to start by asking you about your background and how you came to be a language teacher. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. When I, talk about my background as a language teacher, I always go back to my high school days because one of my English teachers at my high school was a very scaly, very strict, but very good teacher. And I think I talked about him in a JALTA meeting once. But anyway, because he was so scary and strict, I studied really hard, on the English subject. And as a result of that, my English grades were much better than other subjects. And that's why I came to major English and American literature for my undergraduate study. So that's the beginning. And my university offered really good, fun reading classes as well as conversation classes. And then I really came to like English for the first time, not because I was scared or anything, but because I was purely interested in English. And so then I so there learning language is really fun. And then I eventually decided to go to a graduate school to do some linguistics research there. And while I was in the graduate school, I started my teaching career as actually a Chinese teacher first, because I used to live there and then I was able to speak Chinese. And I taught at Kobe Showin Women's University for a few years. And when I got, and I had really fun there, and I got pregnant with my second child, and it was very difficult to continue. So I quit the job, and then my long maternity leave started, and it lasted for 5 years. And during that period, iPhone came to the world, and I loved, and then I still love this app called Audible. Audible.
Of course.
So, audible.com. And so I was a very busy mom with newborn child and, small kid, but I was able to listen to, audiobooks. I can't really read books anymore because I was busy, but I was able to listen to audiobooks, and I listened to many, many English audiobooks. And I think that intensive listening during that maternity leave made my English strong enough to be able to teach at a proper school. So when it's a high 5 years passed, and then when I went back to my teaching job, first I went back to Chinese teaching job. This time I started teaching at Osaka Pharmaceutical University, and but after a while I got a job as an English teacher for the first time at a school called Osaka College of Foreign Language, Osaka Gaigo Senmon Gakko, and I taught there for 3 years. Then I moved to Toyama from Nara because of my husband's job. And then now, after a year, I got a job as an English teacher again at Toyama Prefecture University. So yeah, I am.
I see. So thanks to your scary high school teacher,
Indeed. I
he
wonder
set
how
you on
he's
a
doing.
course for language and specializing in language and English. That's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about the Audible experience as well. I guess
Yes.
you said intensive. It's also a kind of extensive reading because or extensive listening because you got all that input, all that input, the input
Hours of hours.
helped the language to come together in your
That's
brain.
right.
So wow, that's interesting. And a good advertisement for Audible too.
That's right.
I wish I could do the same actually. You can control the speed on those apps, can you?
That's right.
It goes,
Yeah, I think you can go with like 1.5 times faster or something.
Because part of my problem in mastering Japanese is keeping up.
All right.
I always want to say, can you say again? Can you say again? Because I can't catch everything. But yeah, that's a good case for input, and scary English teachers.
That's right. So find one, please.
Excellent, thank you. And how about your teaching style now? You say you're teaching in Toyama at a at sorry, I didn't catch the college name, but tell us a little bit about the kinds of subjects that you teach and the kind of ways that you teach them. And I'm curious too, are you still teaching Chinese? You might touch on that, because I do remember from our previous conversations that with Chinese, they were zero learners. I mean, starting from zero level, which is rare in English. Usually when we get learners in English, students coming to classes, they're not coming as zero, right?
That's right. And that's what
They
it makes it
it
difficult
makes
for
a
the
big
teachers.
it ultimately makes it has a big impact. So if yeah, I'll just put that to you to talk a little bit about your teaching style.
Sure. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't teach Chinese anymore. And I'm teaching at the Toyama Prefectural University. And I belong to Faculty of Engineering. So I'm teaching engineering students, four English classes, and all of them has the emphasis on writing. So for example, I teach what is a paragraph and then paragraph structure, what is a topic sentence and concluding sentence, and so on. Of course, I teach that, but at the same time, I try to incorporate speaking as much as possible. But it took a while for me to realize that the way I was teaching in Osaka doesn't always work here. And probably the main reason is that because I was teaching at the language school in Osaka, so students who came to that school basically, want to learn English and then
They
they
have an
want to speak
interest.
English.
Yeah, they
Yes,
have
have
a
interest.
priority
And
for learning language.
but why here students have this serious engineering major.
Yeah.
They are very busy with their study and I think probably there is this regional difference to Osaka and Hokuriku. So students here are quieter, less talkative in the class. And then also, in language school, they have like five or six or maybe more classes in a week, the English writing, speaking, everything. But here, not like that, only two classes a week, each year. So, each grade. So, it took a while for me to realize that fact. And so you can't just, ask them to form a group and talk about this or, ask your partner these questions and, okay, talk more, talk more.
Right.
It doesn't work like
Doesn't
that.
work.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Well, sometimes it does, but, not always.
Not as
So,
effective.
So this year, especially in April and May, I made sure to talk to them one by one every week. So typically we have this writing, okay, now you have to start writing, for 30 minutes. While they are writing, I went to students one by one and I told them that, okay, every week you have to tell me what you have been doing for 30 seconds at least. So that's what I did. And then at the beginning, some students were telling me that, well, I've never spoken English before. I can't speak for 30 seconds and so on. But eventually, well, they started speaking really well, for 1 minute or more than 1 minute. And so it was really good. And so because I did that and I made sure that each student has a chance to speak. So I think starting from probably June or something, so I created this atmosphere that they can speak English. They have to speak English in this class. So, in the writing class, I explained that, okay, today's topic is this, and you have to come up with reasons and fill out the outlines and so on. And then I randomly just, you know, went to student, okay, so what your position, you know, do you agree or disagree with this topic, and what are your three reasons, and so on. Then they could tell me their, you know, three reasons in English. So they, I think they got used to speaking English. So anyway, this is the last week of this semester, and I'm really proud of their achievement.
Wonderful. That resonates well with, I think, with myself and probably with a lot of JELT members' experiences. It's setting the environment for students to feel confident enough to speak. I'm guessing your guys at Toyama, they don't go to university to learn English. They go there to learn engineering, but they're required to learn English. And probably many of them, I imagine, like my guys here at the Nara Institute of Science and Technology, they've managed to avoid language learning for a good part of their academic careers. You know, like that they do enough to get past, but you know, that's they're not bunke, they're rike, and so that's their, you know, that's their mindset. But it's still there, you know, they've got years of formal learning, and if you can,
that's right.
It's interesting, you know, but at first, I guess 30 seconds is a long time to speak
long English time,
when,
you, yes.
when you've never done that before, but it's there, and to get there. It out, yeah, to
right.
just get it out, I think is a big part of the challenge of what we do in English is creating that
right.
environment to give them the confidence to feel safe enough to be able to output in
before teaching actual content.
And it's interesting, if I may just ask, the all writing, so that's the syllabus for the university where you are at the Toyama Prefectural University. The English
that's
program
correct.
Is all writing, is that
no, of course,
no.
You know, students have speaking and listening and
okay, four skills. Yeah.
It happens to be, yes, like
okay.
this for me.
Okay, you're teaching writing, I see. So it's probably a four skills based syllabus program, is
that's
it?
Right.
I see.
Yes.
And it does it I'm curious, does it touch on ESP? Does it borrow from ESP, the English for specific purposes? Is you know, a subfield of TESOL that's pretty well established for many decades now. And I wonder if there's been any sort of ESP flavor or impact in your program.
I have never really taken any course, you know, like those. And so, but lots of things are available online, and then I, you know, constantly check this and that, and then I just, you know, take whatever I think it works for the students here.
Yeah, of course. I found just a little bit similar experience when I came here to NIST. My students are all researchers in sort of, you know, fairly cutting edge scientific disciplines like physics and chemistry, also information science, biology.
Very close.
And so, yeah, so I found that the ESP approach was quite useful, quite effective for those guys in pinpointing their needs.
Okay.
That's interesting. Let me shift topics now and ask you about JELT and your experiences with JELT. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of, you know, what have been your experiences with JELT so far?
Sure. I have made one presentation, you know, you kindly offered this great opportunity. And I talked about my teaching experience in Chinese and English. And that was already, 5 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then now, interestingly, even though I live in Toyama, I rejoined Nara JELT because, I was a member of, thank you very much for having me back. This is very unconventional, I believe. Of course, I was a member of Nara JELT for a couple of years when I lived in Nara. And then very, very sadly, I had to leave the group. And then I had to quit my job, teaching job, because, you know, because of my husband's situation because of his job, I had to move to Toyama. And I remember Motoko-san, I think she is probably watching this, right? So mm-hmm. I just want to thank her all over again that we exchanged the emails, you know, at that time, and she wrote this really encouraging emails to me. And thank you very much. So I just have this, you know, great experience with NARAJALT members, super friendly group. And so anyway, I got a job as a language teacher again here in Toyama. And then when I wanted to rejoin JALT, and well, the thing is that there is no Toyama JALT chapter.
Oh, right.
So I had to choose, you know, which chapter to join. Then I couldn't think of anything but NARA chapter. And partly because my parents live in Kansai, and then mm-hmm. I have friends and my research collaborators are there. So I often go back there. So it makes perfect sense to me. So I joined NARA chapter again. So I think my involvement and activities will begin from now on.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. It's kind of like these days, you know, everything's online, so the geographical location has less impact on our activities. Almost like that.
I'm ready to join events in person too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So we have a MyShare event coming up in September, in which you will talk a little bit about your work, maybe an update on your work. I'm not sure exactly what is it exactly you're going to talk about.
This is about it's completely different thing mm-hmm. from, you know, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is my research topic mm-hmm. about the disfluency. And I want to teach how to be disfluent mm-hmm. in learning language mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's impossible not to be disfluent.
Yeah, this is a very interesting construct, I think. Can you just touch a little bit more about that construct, disfluency? What does that mean?
I realized that, you know, whenever students speak English, they get stuck, they can't come up with the next mm-hmm. words to say, they always say sometimes they just give up there. But it's such a shame. So I just want to introduce to them, you know, how to be disfluent in a natural way in English. Mm. You can say well or still wait a second or something like that, so that you can continue your conversation even if you get stuck or even if you can't come up with your, you know, next words. But I think lots of efforts have been already done, and I'm, you know, reading the previous studies and everything, but that MyShare event will be a great opportunity for me to just, you know, get some advice from experienced teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, probably goes into the field of pragmatics, I suppose. I haven't come across much work on that, but I really like the construct disfluency. How to be disfluent sounds very compelling. So I look forward to that in September.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Akiko, for sharing your experiences and your journey through language teaching with us today for this NARAJALT Meet the Members series. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lei. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the NARAJALT Meet the Member series. Hope you enjoyed it and look forward to the next one. Who knows, it might be featuring you. See you then.